Let's pray. God, your Spirit is moving among us now. We ask that our hearts will be open to receiving that word which you have for us today. And I ask that your Spirit will use me as I share the message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Work camps are a wonderful experience for anyone who gets the opportunity to go on one. I've taken many youth on work camps. Some work camps were better than others. But there's always something positive to be found while working with new friends and while serving those in need. I've had young people who really didn't want to go on a work camp, but because they did, their lives were changed because they made new friends. And more life-changing was their interaction with the people whom they served from different social statuses and cultures. The life stories of those they served opened their awareness, understanding, and sensitivity to others in need. Everyone has a life story, a story filled with experiences, both good and bad, that shaped us into the people whom we are today. And the stories of our lives continue to be written and to shape us with each passing day. There are those parts of our personal stories that we share with others, and there are parts that we hold and hide deep inside. Perhaps because they are too painful to share, or maybe because we're embarrassed by something that happened. Maybe we don't share because we're afraid no one will understand the effects an experience has had on our lives. We all have a life story that shapes and influences our likes and our dislikes, the things that make us uncomfortable, our fears, our anxieties, skills or limited abilities, our judgment and our perceptions. And there's a beauty, though, in our varied stories when with humility we honor one another's stories. A grocery store cashier wrote to advice columnist Ann Landers to complain that she had seen people buy birthday cakes and bags of shrimp with their food stamps. People on welfare who treated themselves to such non-necessities, she says, were lazy and wasteful. A few weeks later, Landers' column was devoted entirely to responses to that letter. One woman wrote, "I didn't buy a cake, but I did buy a big bag of shrimp with food stamps. So what? My husband had been working at a plant for 15 years when it shut down. The shrimp casserole I made was for our wedding anniversary, and it lasted then for 3 days. Perhaps the grocery clerk who criticized the woman who bought, perhaps the grocery clerk who criticized that woman would have a different point of view after walking a mile in my shoes." Another woman wrote, "I'm the woman who bought the $17 birthday cake, and I paid for it with food stamps. I thought the checkout woman in the store would burn a hole through me with her eyes. What she didn't know is the cake was for my girl's birthday. It will be her last. She has bone cancer and will probably be gone within 6 to 8 months. You never know. You never know what other people are dealing with, do you? It's very easy to pass judgment on someone's actions or words when something seems to contradict what usually is considered to be right or normal reactions or behavior. This is not only true when we consider our reactions to people who are needy or unchurched and people who are different ethnicity, but you know what? We even do this to one another in the church. We find the perfect example of this conduct in today's story in the scripture. An obvious observation that we make firsthand in this story is that we got this arrogant guy praying. The Pharisee is passing judgment on this tax collector who's there pouring out his guts to God. We're left cheering for the tax collector because he seems to be genuinely repentant, while the Pharisee does nothing but praise himself and judges himself to be a much holier-than-thou person, at least compared to the tax collector. It seems that the Pharisee is blind to the tax collector's broken spirit. Now, tax collectors were not popular because they collected taxes. And they did that for the government that overburdened the people. They were thought to be thieves, too, because in order for them to make a living, they had to charge a fee for collecting the taxes, and there was nothing to regulate how much they could collect. So some of them took a lot of advantage of the people and collected more than they ever would have needed to collect. So maybe if we consider this piece of information, we might understand the Pharisee's judgment. And if we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit, really, that we do this sometimes here. We lump people into stereotypes and judge them unfairly. But we don't know the rest of the tax collector's story, do we? We don't know what brought him to this point of repentance in his life. And because his prayer seems legit, we feel sorry for him. But let's not forget the Pharisee has a life story too. This particular Pharisee, and all of the Pharisees actually, were a part of a movement in the first century Judaism that was steeped in tradition of piety. The term Pharisee itself means separated. Through their extreme observance of the law and their strict adherence to all the Torah details, the Pharisees sought to separate themselves from their increasingly Gentile pagan surroundings. Makes me think of the Amish. They believed that only by carefully separating themselves from those who did not follow or honor the Torah could the covenant community be preserved. So a sense of spiritual differentness, distinctness, which was morally superior to all its pagan surroundings, was applauded and honored. This, then, my friends, is a piece of the Pharisee's personal story that prompted him to judge the tax collector. Now, does this understanding of the Pharisee's actions excuse his attitude? Jesus tells us, absolutely not. This parable reveals to us God's desire for us to humble ourselves, to create a safe and welcoming space, to hear and respect one another's stories, not so we can judge one another, but so we can understand one another, offer compassion and support for one another, learn from one another, communicate better with one another, do God's work more efficiently with love and unity. Our stories may expose what makes us different from one another, but when we honor them, they become this beautiful tapestry of God's handiwork. I'm finding that there is a beautiful tapestry of stories here at Hagerstown. Are you aware of it? Or have you been having difficulty seeing it at this point of time in your history together? Oh, and my friends, there is so much more beauty and length to be added to this wonderful tapestry at Hagerstown. I wonder, how will we add to its beauty? How will we make space to learn one another's stories? How will we show honor to our shared stories? How will we use our stories to strengthen who we are together? How will our combined story move us into the future? Well, there's a lot more I could say about that, but I think we're out of time. And that'll have to be for another time, won't it? Are you ready and willing to work on this? I am. Let's do it. Amen.